You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Welcome back, everybody, to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James and Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. We are three brothers. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor. Their Pick 6 option is just recent. It is the latest option from them. That promo code is THPN if you go there, and you can get some extra little benefits from them through that promo code. Guys, lots of fallout coming out of the Miro incident. It's unfortunate we have to call it like that, but how are we doing tonight?
Yeah, big breaking news on Miro. We don't know anything because this team had no availability today. So there is no new updates. We know just as much.
James, how are you doing?
I'm doing good as Chris's mic cuts out.
I think his mic just went out. I don't think he realized it until you just said that.
We all the Stars fans are just kind of sitting here with this sinking feeling in our gut, just waiting to hear something. And we're going to have to wait a little while longer.
Okay, so let's just dive straight into it, just like Mark Stone did into Miro's knee, okay? It's been not quite 24 hours, okay? We were talking about this at midnight last night or this morning, whatever. Do you still feel the same way? James, I'm actually very interested to hear if yours has changed now that you've been allowed to stew upon it a little bit. Has anything changed?
So my idea that he's intentionally trying to hurt him has changed. Everything else about it being a stupid play and him knowing what he's doing has not. That is not something that you do in that kind of a situation.
I thought that's where you get. I'm pretty much the same thing. I mean, I think he's diving for him to try and stop Miro from skidding up the ice. I don't think he's trying to hurt his knee, though. But it was stupid play. It was reckless.
And, to his credit, he gets the puck with his stick, but his knee is also in Miro's... or his elbow is also in Miro's knee at the same time. So
pretty stupid. It was pretty obviously clipping, pretty obviously the wrong call, but I don't think there's going to be any kind of suspension or anything.
The part that annoys me is that he's just like, oh, I got tripped before.
That's
a crap answer.
Yeah. He gets tripped as he's skating right and he dives left. I don't know about that.
That's kind of how I'm at. And I'm still on the same bit, and that the perfect word is negligent. Do I believe him? Yes, I believe him that he wasn't purposely trying to hurt Miro Heiskanen. He was trying to make a play on the puck. I believe that. And he was trying to do a hockey play. But that was 100% clipping, and that's not something that you do. You should know better. As a hockey player in the NHL, there are certain things that you don't do. Just like what Matt Rempe did to Miro Heiskanen. Speaking of another Miro Heiskanen incident, you don't go into the boards and just completely clobber a guy from behind. That's going to hurt somebody. And the only thing I don't understand is why he didn't think about that to begin with. This should have been something he thought about before, and I understand hockey players are competitive and all of that sort of stuff, but not being negligent or not being reckless, excuse me, I guess is the right word, should trump any kind of hockey play that you make. Fair?
Yeah. And the other thing that kind of will make fans more upset is once Stone gets back to the bench, he watches the replay and just is laughing and smiling. So that kind of makes his PR statement later after the game kind of pointless to me, honestly.
I mean, so it pretty much feels like we're all on the same boat here. So, and, you know, looking over here at chat, Talek Lizzy, Razor and DLLS defended Stone. I don't think they defended Stone because I did watch their little discussion about it. I think they're at the same place we are, is that, especially I thought Sam, he threw another word out there, stupid. It was a stupid play. Like, come on. So, but I hadn't heard Razor talk about it all that much, so I can't say anything about Razor. But Ardell, Reckless, he is at fault. That is my personal opinion as well, and that's just kind of where I stand at that. Now, that being said, we can't change anything about what's happened in the past. Miro is going to be hurt for insert period of time here. What this does definitely changes a lot of what the next couple of months look like in terms of the Stars. And we were talking about, you know, going through and, okay, well, is this Bischel's tryout to stay up with the team? Which I think the answer is yes now, especially with the Miro injury. And you know, I think, oh, James, is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't even heard about
Nils Lundqvist was placed on IR today. So,
okay, so that's even worse news. That's something I hadn't heard about.
So you were right about last game, right. James.
It's undisclosed too. So they're not giving anything. But so, yeah, that just means Bischel is probably not going down.
Well, that means Bischel's top four, and our bottom pair is now Dumba Smith, which is terrifying to think of.
Talk about 6 minutes a night.
Right, and it just... It really all depends on how long Miro's going to be out, because we can survive with Dumba Smith as our bottom pair for a little bit, and we've given ourselves a decent enough cushion in the standings so that we can play some 500, maybe even a little bit below 500 hockey for the next 2 months, and we're still going to be in the playoffs without too much of a problem. But if Miro's injury is he's out until playoffs, or maybe he's not even coming back for the playoffs, that's when you start to have some really interesting questions and some really off the wall kind of moves that can be made.
And tough decisions too.
I mean, very tough decisions.
You got to decide for the team whether you're even going to try to go all in or not now.
Yep, I agree.
And again, this is all dependent on how severe this Miro Heiskanen injury really is. Especially, and I think it solidifies my belief now. I didn't know this until just now when you just mentioned it, James. But with Nils Lundqvist being out, there's no way that the Stars don't go out and get some sort of defenseman to help out.
We'll, I mean, their depth is being tested. They'll throw like a fourth or fifth
for somebody.
Yeah, for someone just to get a body.
Yep.
They do also have Petra, who proved to be solid last year in the playoffs too, though. So I wouldn't let's start with this scenario. Scenario one is that Miro is actually week to week and he'll be back in 4 to 6 weeks. I think that's probably best case scenario based off of how we're all feeling and how that play looked. So let's start with that scenario first. Miro's out 4 to 6 weeks. I don't think you have to get a defenseman, honestly. Like, even a depth guy. I think if Miro comes back, he's got plenty of time before playoffs to get back where he was at. And if Bischel does well during this time where he's going to get top 4 minutes, if he does well and he solidifies his spot on this team, then I don't really want to go get another defenseman. Our defense is tops in the league, and that'll be really test.
Oh, he's gone again.
Chris,
James, do you have anything
night.
To say? Yeah, he's not.
To Chris's point, if Miro is
that in
4 to 6 weeks out, I'm kind of with him. I don't want to go for more defense. I still look at offense and look at scoring again, honestly. And if Miro's going down, find more offense. I mean, Miro isn't a ton of offense that you're losing anyway. That's a huge part of your defensive structure. That's a huge part of your team. I know it's a huge part of your locker room, but you can outscore your problems still, and you still have two goaltenders having a great season behind you too.
James finished my thought. I've been hit by my microphone and now my internet is not doing good.
Yeah, now all of a sudden you're having all the internet issues, not me. So, yeah, exactly. There you go, Brandon. I had the exact same thought process. Chris is getting the West Texas internet from Central Texas. So, okay. This is the point I wanted to make about all of this, and I think this is it's important to point out. And thank goodness we have Jim Knoll, because if it was anybody else, I would be very worried. We can't go out and panic. If we go out and panic, then we are going to be giving up a whole lot for somebody that is, and we're going to overpay for somebody. Because one, if we panic, then we're not going to think logically. And then two, teams are going to take advantage of the fact that, I mean, they know Miro's injured, and they also saw that Lundqvist just got put on IR. So obviously that's, they're going to try and get as much possible out of you if you're asking for a defenseman. So I'm kind of with you, Chris, in the fact that I don't think anything's going to be done right off the bat. Now, in a couple of weeks, depending on the Miro
incident. So if it's 4 to 6 weeks, what do you think in a couple of weeks? What do you think Knoll should do?
Nothing.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page.
I'm with you. And I know it is very scary. And you know what? Ardell, where was his? Here you go. Normally, I'm the negative one, and Ardell's the one talking me off the ledge, and now I'm trying to talk Ardell off the ledge. Ardell saying we are all about to see the things that Miro does. We are not okay. I agree with you on both counts. I don't think it is as bad as it could be. I mean, you have to remember that this is still a team that Nils has been in and out of the lineup because of his injury. And we're not first in the NHL, but we're second in the NHL. And it's not only just about the decor. The team defense has been absolutely ridiculous this season, and especially post-Christmas. So are they going to have to rely upon that a little bit more? Yeah, they probably are. But I'm not ready to say that we are just totally screwed. And is it going to get worse? Yes, it's going to get worse. And we're probably going to have to rely upon 5-4 games instead of 3-2 games or something like that. But right now, the way we're scoring, we can make it work.
The other thing that you might see is you might, instead of getting even more high scoring, you might get even more low scoring with the forwards coming back even more. I mean, these games could get really boring, which is unfortunate from the past like week we've seen of Stars hockey, which has just been fantastic to watch.
Okay, now let's do the more fun one. Miro Heiskanen is injured for the rest of the regular season.
Oh, gosh.
For cap purposes, that's what we'll say. He's out the rest of the regular season. We put him on LTIR along with Sagan, and that gives the Dallas Stars $16 million in cap space before the trade deadline, which is insane to think about in this maximum chaos. In that scenario where you have $16 million for sure of cap space, what do you do? You got to replace Miro Heiskanen. How do you do that?
Well, first off, you can't replace Miro Heiskanen. That's my opinion.
The correct first answer, yes.
And that is the right correct first answer. But I mean, I know we talked about it yesterday. I mean, is Seth Jones the answer? Because other than him, there's not really anybody else out there that I can see that I've heard or seen on social media or whatever that would be able to play the amount of minutes that Miro did.
Right. And so someone mentioned last game when we brought up Seth Jones for just a little bit to give you all a little sneak peek of what we were going to talk about tonight. They said no to Seth Jones. They'd rather have Rasmus Anderson. And
yes,
I agree, but that's a different player. Rasmus Anderson is playing second pair minutes right now. He's playing 8 to 18 minutes a night. Seth Jones is playing over 20 night in, night out, and he has for the past 5 seasons. So that's where the difference is. Seth Jones can actually replace the minutes that Miro is playing. Not as well. I think Seth Jones is a worse defenseman than Miro Heiskanen is. So I'll put that out there. But he can fill those minutes.
Hot take.
Yeah. One thing that I would say about Seth Jones is, has he ever played on like a true contender? because he's been in Chicago for 5 years. He played on Nashville. The last time he played in Nashville was 15-16 season.
I think that was their last good year, wasn't that?
I think so.
I think 20.
I thought that was their conference final run.
They had a Stanley Cup final run. I don't remember.
Maybe it was a Stanley Cup final run.
And 15-16, he actually got traded to the Blue Jackets for the second half of the season.
So Ardell is saying absolutely not. No. Yeah. And Brandon is also saying no.
Yeah, and they bring up the good point. It's $9.5 million for the next 5 years, which is insane for the type of player that he is right now. He is absolutely not worth $9.5 million right now. That's for sure. What's good about that is if you do end up taking that whole contract, you're not going to give up hardly anything because everyone knows that's a crazy contract. If you want them to retain some of that, which would be difficult, you can do that, but you have to give up a big piece, I think. So it's definitely a weird one. And the reason I keep going back to it is because the Stars keep ending up in those rumors about Seth Jones. And I think recently I can't remember where it was from, so I apologize, but they're saying it's most likely to be an offseason deal if it happens to bring Seth Jones to Dallas, which I think makes more sense when you're trying to see how to finagle the cap with all that, because the Stars will know more after they re-sign Jamie Benn and they see exactly how much the cap goes up. But if Miro is actually out and you actually have $16 million of cap space, then you can get Seth Jones this season and you still have $7 million to work with. So it makes it less outlandish, but yeah, that's why I keep going back to it, because his name keeps up ending up in the Dallas Stars' mouth for whatever reason.
Yeah. And the one thing about this whole scenario is, like, if Miro is back for the playoffs anyway, I don't know if I even want Seth Jones specifically. I mean, you can just all in and try to get Nelson and Brock Besser and just try to get every $6 million contract that's expiring. And that could be a really, really dangerous team. Like, you essentially add a second line to your team full of second lines.
And I agree with you there if you know Miro is likely to come back for playoffs.
Yeah.
If you have to find somebody who can play top line or top pair minutes, and there's not people available like that. The only one that has been rumored to be available on the trade market is Seth Jones.
But I'm not willing to even.
I mean, what's your other option?
I don't know. That's the thing. That's why I'm saying I don't think you do anything. I mean, I think you have to go out and get somebody, obviously, but you're not going to replace what Miro Heiskanen does.
Correct. So
that's why I'm still, last year I was all about the fact that, they're not going to get Chris Tanev because, you know, recency bias, he had not gone out and gotten a big name player, right? Like, we had not seen him go out and get giant names like he used to do when he went out and got Spezza and Sagan and very early on in his, you know, Dallas Stars tenure. And then he pulls off the biggest trade of, you know, for the trade deadline. And he did it before the trade deadline, right? And he went out and got that Chris Tanev guy, which I didn't think he was going to be able to do. So I just don't see that. That's just not an option for me. Seth Jones is not. And Rasmus Anderson, you could talk.
Right. So then your other option,
from Boston.
But then your other option is players like Carlo and like Anderson, but they're playing on your second pair most likely. Those guys are likely not going to be your top players. So then you're asking Harley Lindell to be your top pair, and neither of those guys has a ton of experience playing on the offside. Lindell is probably the one that's going to do it. But is he going to be as good as he is on his left?
And it's just... Lindell will be fine. He is more than capable of playing top pair minutes, and he's done it before.
He's doing it right now.
that's true. I should say it that way too. And he did it with John Klingberg for years, and now he did it on his strong side.
Yes.
So now that's a serious question to ask is, do you say, okay, here you go, Harley, we're going to throw you in the fire, you're going to play on the right side, and good luck? Or do you put the veteran in there and say, figure it out.
And that's just what makes this situation so much worse. If Miro is actually out for the season, then there's not a ton of options, and it's people are gonna have to bump up. We're gonna get a defenseman if Miro is out until playoffs. You're gonna get a defenseman at the trade deadline, but man, I hope it is only a short period of time, and that way we can do what we talked about last time we did an hour long episode, and that's just go for some scoring.
And Brandon, to your point, saying Provorov is mid, not worth it. We need mid right now. Okay, let's be honest. Yeah. We need some more mid depth.
Well, no, I don't agree. If there was a good defenseman who was a top pair player who was available, that's absolutely who we would get if Miro was done for the season. But that player doesn't exist. The only player that's close to that is Seth Jones. And it seems to be that there's universal agreement of no. So
but the thing is that you're just gonna have to rely upon, and that's why I've talked so much about Liam Bischel in the last episode when we did a shorter version of this whole Miro talk. But you know, honestly, maybe it's Lyubushkin. He has played mostly good for, I don't want to say mostly good, he's been very good for a majority of the year. He has had his moments where he's looked a little bit off, but this is that he's come into the system. He has played exactly to what we've needed him for. He's played to his contract at the very least, maybe even a little bit above it. And he's had some experience playing on a top pairing before. So, and it's not fair to thrust him into that kind of a thing. But you're not gonna, like Zach was, you know, joking about it, but just put Bischel up on the top pairing and hope for the best. He's obviously joking, but that's what you have to do with Lyubushkin. It's just like, sorry, dude, you're right-handed. Hartley is gonna play most of the minutes, but we need somebody who's right-handed. You're gonna have to figure it out. We need you to step up.
Yeah,
and I was saying that about Bischel, but it's got to be even more Lyubushkin, in my opinion.
Yeah, the other thing is Lyubushkin has played really well the past three games, mainly pairing with Lindell for the most part. So I think that's really what you're looking at as your starting top pair, or you're defending the lead top pair. And then whoever, again, this is assuming Miro's done for the season, which we have no idea about, whoever you go out and get, I think is your pair with Hartley. And that becomes your quote unquote second, but it's going to be like it is now. Lindell and Hartley are going to get the majority of the minutes, and whoever else is having a good game that night is going to be the other one in that top three.
Yeah, like I said, it goes from Miro in circle to Hartley in circle, really. Correct. Is what it's going to end up being.
Correct.
I would throw Lindell in there too. Hartley, Lindell in circle.
That's, but Hartley's written a little bigger.
Written a little bigger, fair.
I think Lindell is different because he's just defensive defenseman, and he has to be ready to play the full 2 minutes on the PK because that's what we need him for too. So it's not exactly the same, but it's similar. So I kind of agree with James. Lindell, but smaller.
Hartley is going to have to play. Where was I going with that?
Lindell. No,
I don't exactly remember where I was going with that, but Lindell is going to have to cover a lot of deficiencies.
Right. For the meantime, we're going to see 25 minute nights from Lindell Hartley a lot.
Probably 27, I would say. 27.
We totally could. Totally could.
I mean, we saw it last game. So,
yep.
Okay. Anything else on that whole topic? Do we want to discuss anything about Mark Stone involvement in all of this, or just kind of leave it be?
No, I don't. I'm over the Mark Stone thing. I mean, I'm not over it. I'm still upset, but there's nothing left to talk about on it.
Right.
We can talk about individual players. Provorov, I don't think he's getting off the Blue Jackets. They're not going to trade anybody. They're on a Cinderella run right now, and they're going to let it ride and see what happens. Unless they literally fall off the face of the earth before the trade deadline happens, I don't think they're going to move anybody. I don't even think they'll bring anybody in, really. It's an emotional miracle run that they're going on right now.
And good for them. As a side tangent, I love watching what they're doing. It's just fantastic. This is just such a great story. And regardless of the story, who cares about the story? What about the fan base, and what about the players in that locker room? I mean, can you imagine this?
It's got to be emotional.
Yeah, it's got to be extremely emotional. You know, they've got the 13 on their jerseys and on their helmets every single game. And I mean, he's like, hey, you're playing for him, right?
Yeah.
And you're and just the amount of stuff that fan base has gone through, it absolutely sucks. I mean, the whole Kiv Linux thing years ago, and then now this, and they haven't really had a whole lot of success as a franchise, and they're way overperforming what the expectation was for this team. Like, everyone was forgiving the team if they were going to be really bad, right? Including myself. I was just like, you know, not to throw them off, but you know what? They have been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I hope they keep it up just for their sakes and for their fan base's sake. Sorry, random side tangent there.
And they're kind of humming on just the same way every other Eastern Conference team is. There's only one team more than 10 points out of a wild card spot. There's one. It's Buffalo. And it really doesn't seem like anyone else is selling right now. I mean, the Penguins are selling. Buffalo is selling. Islanders are probably selling. That's kind of where it's at. Everyone else thinks they can still get in, and they're still going to push for it.
I don't know about the Islanders. I think they're on a 4 or 5 game winning streak the last time I checked. They beat Chicago the other night. James was giving me a whole lot of heartache.
They're on a 5 game win streak, so they're hot.
It's unsustainable.
I think it's unsustainable.
Oh, I don't know. But never say never. Hey, guys. Have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here, and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select two or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. A couple of the other things that we need to get into is from the fallout of this Miro injury. Obviously you have to go out and get a defenseman. Does this change anything else about what we talked about pre-Miro injury? And what I'm talking about is,
right,
do we still go out and get Ryan O'Reilly, which I'm really hoping for, or do we still go out and get a forward, or do we go out and get two defensemen now? And maybe that was the plan all along, is you with Miro in the lineup, assuming like this is you still get a defenseman and you still get a forward, or do you go out and get a forward and two defensemen, or do you do nothing? Like what is this? Does this change anything? Does it change everything?
Right. So if it's the 4 to 6 weeks thing, if he's week to week, then I think it doesn't change anything. I think you go for goal scoring. You trust that Miro's going to come back and he's going to be just as good and be able to eat as many minutes. That's what you're going to bank on. If he is out for till the end of the regular season, then you're shaking things up and who knows what's going to happen. I think it's going to be at least one defenseman that they get. And it might be two, especially if Nils is injured for an extended period of time, an undisclosed injury that we can't even tell what's going on with him. So yeah, if Miro's out for an extended period of time, who knows? If it's week to week, we're good.
Yep. That's kind of where I'm at.
I just don't know what we would be willing to give up for some of these players. And there's a lot of untouchables on this team for me. And maybe it's just because I'm doing it from a fan perspective, but who is expendable for you guys? Who would you be willing to trade away? Now, a couple months ago, I would have been fine with trading Maverick Bourque, but I think we're starting to see him get going a little bit. So even then, I'm a little iffy on that one too.
Right. So I think just the mindset of this team, and I think it's in this direction anyway. You've been to the conference finals 2 years in a row now. You've been one of the better teams in the league for the past 5 years, and it's time to make a move. So I agree. Bourque has been really good recently. If you can give up Bourque to get the player you really want, and it's for a good deal, then I think you do it. It's time to make some sacrifices to really try and bring this thing home.
Really, the main thing for me is if you're trading him for someone who will make a difference in the playoffs
right now. Yep.
Even if Bourque goes like crazy the last half of the season here, the likelihood he's able to keep it up into the playoffs, it's really not likely, especially with it being his first run through. I mean, we saw Robo on his first run through, and he just like, he tanked, dude. He was invisible. But I mean, if you can find someone who is going to make a difference in the postseason, that's who you go get, and that's who you trade for.
And I would even, I'll hot take and have someone clip this. Now that Rantanen's gone, I wouldn't say this, but if the Stars were on the table for Rantanen, I'm willing to give up Leon Bischel for Rantanen. Now, that's not absolutely a thing anymore. It's not available, and it's not a possibility. There's no one else close to Rantanen. I don't think there's anyone I would give up Bischel for that's still on the market, but absolutely I would have given up Bischel for Rantanen. For 1 year of Rantanen, I would have done it.
Well, and so that was going to be the question I was going to ask, is to kind of make the Carolina-Colorado trade about Dallas. Is this where we need to be? Is Carolina the right way to do this for the Dallas Stars? Are we? I understand the whole not mortgaging your future for the present, but I mean, look at what Carolina got. That they swung the bat and they knocked it out of the park.
Well, and we don't know if they knocked it out of the park yet. It's going to depend on what happens. Oh,
okay,
in, all right,
that's true.
April,
fair,
or May.
Fair. Okay, I'm counting my chickens before they hatch. Right. That. See. Okay. So that's where I was kind of going with that. Is that you know the reason why they made this trade Carolina did is because Rantanen is a proven playoff performer. And that's something that they've had issues with. You just mentioned it, Chris. The stereotype around NHL circles is that Carolina does not get out of the conference final. They don't even win a game in the conference final. They get swept. That's the joke, right? And they could argue that, you know, this guy who we gave up Marty Natchez and Jack Drury for is going to get us over that hump. And is that where the Dallas Stars should be at?
Yeah, I think it is, but there's no one available like that anymore either. And another good point here from Nate in the chat. He said, our circumstance, that trade would have been Roppe and Bischel. And I think that's true. And I think that proves the Stars weren't in that trade. They didn't have the facilities to make that trade because they didn't have what Colorado wanted. It was too expensive.
I disagree with you, Chris. I think they had players that they would have wanted. You know who they probably would have been asking for? It's probably Wyatt Johnston, honestly.
Right, but the Stars would never give up Wyatt Johnston, Robo, or Roppe. I think those guys are not on the table at all. I think Bischel would have been, but like Nate said, that wasn't close to what Carolina gave up. Carolina gave up pretty much Roppe, hints at Bischel. So
fair enough. So okay, I want to bring this up. This is not a Stars thing, but I thought this was very interesting. We have not talked about this yet, but a lot of people are talking about it in NHL circles. Gosh, Utah Hockey Club, they are not able to use Yetis as a team name, which absolutely sucks.
And yes, I'm pissed.
And they are down to their top three.
And they're terrible.
Agreed. They're sticking with Hockey Club, Mammoth, or I don't even know what the third one was.
The Mountain Range.
Start with a W. Yeah, well, like Wasatch or something.
Waxahachie or something like that.
Yeah, Waxahachie, something like that.
Not Waxahachie, Wasatchie or something. But either way, it's the mountain range that they're next to. That's what they were going to be named after, a mountain range.
But, well, first off, what are your thoughts on the whole Yeti thing? First off, you know, Yeti not willing to do like a trademark deal or something like that, coexisting. And then what do you think the winner is, if there is a winner?
That's stupid. Nobody even uses Yetis anymore. Come on, Yeti. Give it up.
I mean, it's an unfortunate circumstance. Yeti has always been super protective of their trademark, of that word specifically.
Because they're a brand built around it, too, so it makes sense.
They're built around their name is really what it is. And everyone knew that was going to be a problem when it was going into it. And honestly, then the voting or whatever they're going to do feels like it's trying to sway towards Mammoth, because the other two names are even worse.
Yes.
But we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's kind of stinks, but I mean, Mammoths are still cool, right?
I didn't even think about it, to be honest. It never crossed my mind that there was a cooler company named Yeti, and that would
be a problem.
I thought
about it instantly.
But
yeah, I hadn't thought about
that
either.
I hope it's Mammoth. They could do some cool stuff with Mammoth. It would be, you could have like elephant trumpets going off after they score and stuff. That'd be pretty cool. And you could have the stomping stuff in their game presentation. I think that'd be fun.
So it's the Wasatch. The Wasatch Mountains.
Yeah, Wasatch Mountains.
All right. So, and this is what one of the representatives for the Utah Hockey Club said. 85% of Utahans live within 15 miles of what is called the Wasatch Front, the mountain range. So it is allowing us to honor this idea of a mythical snow creature, but with a very Utah-centric approach to it. So, okay, I can understand that, and they're trying to find a way to, you know, find a wish version of Yeti. I guess that's their wish version of Yeti is the Wasatch, but I don't know. I honestly don't know what out of those three, which one would win.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue either, though. The Utah Wasatch, and then what are they? The Wasatches?
They're the Wasatches, and they have a Yeti on their jersey. That's what
it would be. They would
that
have
would
a
be
Yeti.
Funny.
For sure.
That's what it would be.
But
I'm still with the whole Storm and Mormons thing. I mean, Zach had a perfect logo for it. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm good with Mammoth. I think Mammoth would be good. I think you could have a fun game presentation with that stuff. And I think the mascot would be super cute looking.
All right, cool. Anything else on that?
No.
And there was one other NHL related thing I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on, and it kind of relates to the Stars, but not really, because I don't think we would be trading for this player. How much have you all been paying attention to the whole Vancouver Canucks thing?
Yeah.
I think it is absolutely bizarre. And what is actually very interesting is being able to go look at Shannon's channel, The Hockey Guy, and really kind of understand it, because he went on a almost 30 minute, I don't want to say tirade, but
it was a rant.
An analysis into Jim Rutherford's press conference. And he's like, why did you do it? Why? It makes no sense. So it was very interesting to see it from a Vancouver fan's perspective, which that is his number one team, and have him go through and be like, well, this makes no reason why, like, and this is basically what he got to it from that press conference, is that not only it will do no good, is basically what he came to in trading either Elias Pettersson or JT Miller. Like, it's already kind of, you know, the toxicity of those two players has kind of spread to the entire team, and it's too late to come back from it, is basically what he kind of came from, which makes some sense. If this whole thing between these two players has been going for so long that everyone is kind of intermingled with it and involved in it, it makes some sense as to why he would come to that conclusion. And let me get your thoughts on anything. It didn't just have to be that press conference, but just anything on that. Do the Stars even trade for JT Miller? Anything of that nature?
Well, yeah, he just bungled the whole situation. I mean, the Canucks finally were good again. I mean, post Sedins, they finally figured it out. They were back. They had the good team on paper for 3 years, and it finally materialized into the standings. And then they immediately just throw it in the garbage. And then this, the GM press conference that he did, that was slamming the lid. I mean, that's what it was. He's like, these guys are gone. This team isn't a thing anymore. We're done. That's what it was to me. No, the Stars shouldn't get any of those guys, and they're not going to, because Nil said he's only looking at UFAs, really. That might change if Miro's out for the season, but I'm going to hold on to hope and say that that's not going to be the case. So I don't think these guys are going to be Stars just because Nil doesn't want to mess up his cap space.
Yeah, the whole situation is just crazy. I mean, this situation is pretty much what I thought was going to happen to the Jets before Bonus went in there and kind of fixed the locker room for them. I mean, it's just all kind of exploded in their face, and yep. Winning covers up a good portion of it. But when you're not winning anymore, it comes right back, and they never fixed the problem. They just had a little Band-Aid over it.
Yep.
I agree. And so what you're saying, James, is that Rick Bonus needs to come out of retirement and become the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
He will save the Canucks. He actually might. I'm kind of a believer.
He did it. Look, he I'm not saying he did it for the Stars, but he came in at a really bad time and did a really good job right off the bat. And then the reason why Winnipeg is as good as they are, he deserves a lot of credit for that. There's so much toxicity in that locker room. And the first thing he did within weeks was taking the captaincy away from Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler is, you know, long gone now. And, you know, Mark Scheifele is still there. They were able to keep Hellebuck as well. There was all those rumors about, could these guys go because of that?
He was out the door before that.
Yeah, exactly. So
that was,
like,
it's insane.
I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm defending Rick Bonus.
he did a very good thing for that team. I mean, he's not going to be the coach that wins you a cup, I don't think. I agree. He is a wonderful coach and an awesome person.
He is definitely a player's coach too. That is one thing I remember hearing about him all the time. I really wish I could have had media credentials back then and gotten the chance to talk to him then, because that would have been so cool. He's the one guy in the hockey world that I really, really, really badly want to talk to, because I just can't imagine all the stories that he's got. He was around for 50 plus years and just different locker rooms and the type of players that he's coached. And anyways, that's a whole another ramble for another story. But anyways, just the whole Vancouver Canucks situation is just ridiculous. And I can't believe that this team is where they're at right now. And now they're talking about tearing down a team that did really well last year. They won the division. They won the Pacific Division last year.
And they almost beat the Oilers.
And almost beat Game 7? Yeah. Was it game? Yeah. I mean, with their third string backup. I mean, like, it's amazing how much, you know, things have turned around in that organization. So, okay. That's basically what I wanted to talk about, what I had on my docket of list of things that I had. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to get into and discuss, whether it's Star stuff or just other NHL stuff?
Nope. I think we can do some Who Cares.
Let's do it. Okay. James, if you would please.
All right. This is from the person with the Mooderous logo in the Discord channel. You know who he is. He changes his name quite often, but that's all right. he says favorite household appliances. So top three favorite household appliances.
And this comes from our Discord. You can join our Discord for free, by the way. I believe it's in the description of this video / podcast description. So go look there and you can join our Discord. And you can give us suggestions, because we need them desperately. We have done everything.
It's amazing we've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years and we're running out of ideas. No joke. We've done corn chips. We've done favorite key on the keyboard. I mean,
we did everything. Plastic water bottles.
We did do plastic water bottles. That's true.
We did water, bottled water.
Oh, that's true. We did. I forgot about that.
We should do tap water.
I completely
next.
Forgot about that.
Oh, anyway, right. James, number third.
All right. My number third, it's going to be the air fryer. I mean, it's like a microwave, but it keeps more moisture in. I love it. It makes just heating up frozen things really easily, and you still get it nice and crispy. So like you throw pizza rolls in an air fryer, and they're crispy when they come out. You can't do that in a microwave.
I thought we were gonna get away with no air fryer, but that's unfortunate. We'll be trendy.
I have an air fryer now. It's unlucky.
What are you anti air fryer?
I'm anti air fryer. I have a petition online. It's on change.org/anti-air fryer. You go sign that petition, and we are trying to propose legislation to the Texas State Senate to remove air fryers from circulation. We're going to ban air fryers in the great state of Texas. So please, change.org/air fryer.
Well, why not just go to the U.S. Congress? Why just skip to Texas?
Nope, Texas Senate, because whenever we secede, we need to make sure that law is still in place. Ryan, number third.
That made too much sense, Chris. Very good for you. That was very good.
Thought it out.
I know, he thought it completely out. My number three is microwave, because as a teacher, that's basically the only thing I've got in my office that is of the cooking variety, and I have to have something fast because I don't get a long lunch break. So, and it's not going to be my number two or my number one, but it is probably the most used and the most useful thing that I have appliance-wise. So number three, microwave.
Microwaves are terrible. Now that I'm an adult, I seldom use the microwave. The microwave is for heating up hot chocolate. That is what the microwave is for. No other things. It makes food taste terrible.
I agree with the food taste terrible part.
Yes, agreed. I do.
That's why I use an air fryer.
Oh, dang it. My number third is the fridge. The fridge is amazing. Obviously, it keeps your food yummier for longer. You know, that's good. But the bigger deal is it keeps your drinks cold at all times. And when you come back home from a 90-degree disc golf round or an intense workout, the best thing to do is to open it up and just pound the beverage of your choice that is ice freezing cold, because you keep your beverages at the top of the fridge right under the freezer, right where the air starts to come in. So they're almost frozen, and it like hurts your throat as it's going down your gullet. That's what you need. That's how cold you need your frosty beverages to be. Fridge is number three.
You thought okay. Too much about that. Okay, cool.
All right. My number second, it's the dishwasher. It's my favorite thing in the entire world. I have done the dishes. That has been my chore since I was a wee little boy.
A wee lad.
I would have been washing dishes for 4 hours, if not for a dishwasher. So
easily. My number second is also the dishwasher, because I hate
no
doing
way.
Dishes. Is that
no.
yours as well?
Let's
go.
It's a sweep. It's a number two sweep. Dishwasher is the unanimous number two. I think that is the first time that's ever happened.
No, we've had it.
Number two, I think.
I think we've had another number two before. Yes, we're similar to that. So, but I mean, at least for me, like I hate doing dishes manually. Like once after you have done dishes manually, I did it in college when in Amanda and I's first apartment, and I hated it so much that we didn't have a dishwasher in it, and the disgust. And it's not that like I couldn't get over the fact of how nasty it was or anything. It was just so painstakingly long to have to go through the whole process of washing the dishes. So that is why it is my number two. There's one thing that is better, and it's because I use it more often.
I would rather have a crappy dishwasher that you have to run twice every single time to get them even close to clean than have to do the dishes myself.
Amen. Preach. Absolutely.
Doing dishes is the worst.
Preach.
Number one worst chore. All right, James, number first.
My number first is the electric tea kettle. I love that thing. It is the most convenient ever. Why would you heat up water in a microwave, Chris, when you have an electric tea kettle? You wouldn't. Yeah, you just need to buy one of those. It's just like it's so cheap too, and it's the best thing ever. I can make hot chocolate in like 3 minutes. Tea. You could do water for oatmeal, for ramen cups, everything. It's great. That is easily my most favorite appliance I have gotten since being married.
We're making tea with kettles? Yeah. Those Brits are getting to us, dude.
Yeah, it's probably Samantha's fault. She's getting all British on everybody.
That is scary.
James.
Whose turn is it now? Is it my turn? Is it Ryan's turn? Oh, we're going to skip Ryan's. Is it Ryan's turn? Ryan, go ahead.
Sorry, did y'all hear that?
No.
Yeah, fine. Keep going.
The thunder is nuts here. Okay. Anyways, my number one, and it's kind of lame, but I use it so often because it's also quick food, but it's not the microwave. It's the panini press. I mean, I make grilled cheeses all the time for the kids. It's a quick thing that's easy to make for them. I enjoy grilled cheeses as well. And I mean, it doesn't take that long compared to putting it on like a frying pan or whatever. And you can make different things in the panini press. It is obviously a panini. You can make different kinds of breakfast sandwiches and such and everything. So that's my number one. And yes, grilled cheese is one of my main food groups. So that's why.
All right.
Number one.
Sit down. My number one is.
Well, okay, Chris, what you got?
Is the correct answer. Because James said air fryer.
Stop putting off, just say it.
And he's just being trendy and being a cool guy over here. Look at me, I got my air fryer. You don't have an air fryer. You know what you have, James? You know what? What? You know what your number third is? What? You have a plastic toaster oven. The number one answer is toaster oven. It's a toaster oven.
They're more expensive, though.
They're way more expensive.
Oven. No, it's not. Have you been to Walmart? Yes, it is. They're like $30.
The air fryers are still cheaper.
They automatically turn off. Safety. Bang. Safety. Done. They get your food crispy, just like James claims the air fryer does.
Air fryers also automatically turn off. You set timers on them.
Shut your mouth. And
trying to make points that aren't there.
Instead of just blowing air in a warm box for no reason, the toaster oven is just, you know, a toaster oven.
Blowing air. And it can actually toast bread.
Blowing hot air.
No, it doesn't blow hot air. And you know what else toaster oven does? It gets hot lickety splurt, dude. Lickety splurt.
So,
and it does it better.
That's an air fryer.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The air fryer came in here and it's putting its propaganda into your mind that, oh, look, we're frying this. It's not just a toaster. No, it's a toaster oven. It's a toaster oven that gets microplastics deep into your food and then it gets into your body. Do you know that, James?
We already have massive amounts of microplastics in our body. I'll take more.
Big toaster oven is corrupting this society, and that's why you need to go to change.org and sign my petition to get it on the floor of the Texas State Senate and get air fryers out of here and mandate a toaster oven in every single household.
How many pizza rolls can you fit in your toaster oven?
Yes, how many
pizza rolls can I fit in my toaster oven?
I bet I can.
Actually,
no.
Hold on. Let's. We gotta ask this question first, James. Does he even have a toaster oven? Do you have one?
Yeah, I got a toaster oven. What
okay,
do you
all right. I just had to make sure that
you're
going to
propose a toaster oven mandate without having a toaster oven.
I could see you doing it. Yes.
Yeah. But no, toaster oven mandate. Everybody should have a toaster oven.
Okay, but now answer James's question. How many can you fit? How many pizza rolls?
I got two racks on my toaster oven, and I can do that. I could probably go 5x5. I can get 50.
That looks pretty good.
I could get 50 pizza rolls in my toaster oven.
That's a good amount.
All right, well, James, now how many pizza rolls can you fit in your air fryer?
Probably not 50.
Boom! That's it. Big toaster oven doesn't want you to hear this podcast. It is getting censored for sure. I know it.
Yeah, but your other points didn't make any sense, Chris, because air fryers can't turn off automatically.
No, they exactly.
It's a box that has hot air.
And they're worse. They're the same, but they're worse, and they're plastic.
Or James. Look over here, Zach. Regular oven can fit 200 plus. So is that the real number one?
And how long does your regular oven take to heat up? I bet you also, like, I can't think of anything. I bet you like stoves too. Why don't you heat your pizza rolls on the stove, Zach? Well, yeah, why get a stove? Why don't we just use a campfire? Just light fires in our living rooms and just heat up our pizza rolls on sticks. Foolish comment. Wrap this up is, the show.
This is really fun, James. Is this why y'all get on to me all the time for all of my stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a lot of fun. I like this.
Isn't it?
I understand now. No, okay.
Before I drop the change.org link.
Thank you guys so much for following along live with us if you have been. There's even more of you that are listening afterwards. If you're on the audio side, please consider clicking like and that's the wrong one. Leaving us a 5-star review wherever you're listening on the audio side. If you're on YouTube, click like and subscribe. Leave us a notification bell as well and click that notification bell while you're there. And on that notification bell that you leave us, tell us why all of our things are wrong that we talked about with Miro Heiskanen today. Tell us how stupid we are about, you know, any of the things that we talked about today, and you tell us the right answers in the comment section below. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook and the Pick 6 option as well. THPN is that promo code. And one more shameless plug. On all of our social media channels, we have sent out a survey. We would love for you to fill it out. It's about doing membership levels for the YouTube channel, for the podcast level. Nothing will change. Everything that you still get here for free will remain free. This is just an extra little option for us to be able to do extra stuff and give you extra perks if you would like to do so. So again, this is not an obligation. It's nothing like that. We're just trying to get feedback right now if we should even consider something like this. So if you're vehemently against it, please, like, seriously, go and fill out the survey. And we want to know stuff like that, because if we shouldn't even be considering this, we shouldn't be considering this. So please go out and do that. Anything else, gentlemen?
Go and join the Discord. That you will get live reactions from many a people in the Discord. And if you have a good enough suggestion for who cares, we'll choose them. Shout you out.
I'll drop the petition link in the Discord.
I'm done. Alongside James, alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. And we'll be back with you guys again very, very shortly. We play another game on Friday and then the last game before the Four Nations face off on Sunday. Thank you guys so much for all the support you show us. And as always, go Stars.